Livingston Academy wins their third straight. Cumberland County prepares for Marion County. And Stone Memorial earns a tough win over White County. The Livingston Academy Lady Cats have won three consecutive district games since their last loss to Upperman. And while there are many things to be excited for, head coach Leslie Riddle is just happy her team is back on the court.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you don't want to quarantine at all, and then knowing you have to come back and play the number one team in the state, and you're going to have the rust from that and everything, and of course, they're so talented and really good anyway. But we're, of course, in a situation where we're having to play almost every day, so that's kind of a blessing. Mm-hmm. You can kind of forget one game and move on to the next one and kind of put it in the rearview mirror. But, yeah, we're finally getting rid of the rust and starting to play a lot better.
I think that a lot of people kind of forget how well this team was playing before it went into quarantine, because you're sitting currently at 12-5 and you're right there battling for potentially a bye in the district tournament. What do you think this team's done well, especially these last three games?
I think we're playing better together, and I think our shot selection has improved, and I think it's because of our passing. They're playing better together and getting the ball into the hands of the correct person at the right time. And that just takes playing together and having court time together. And like you said, you know, we've had two different quarantines, and I felt like when we went on quarantine each time, we were playing really well, and then, mm-hmm. you know, had the 14 days off and had to come back and kind of get back with it. So I think at this point we're moving the ball well, and the last couple of games we've done a better job of executing a scouting report and a game plan. With a younger team, sometimes that's harder, but this group is a little more of a veteran team now, so they're starting to do that a little bit better as well.
How important is the leadership on this team when, like you said, you've been through two quarantines? You guys have had to deal with, I think you guys have had it the worst of any team in the Upper Cumberland in terms of you've had to constantly be moving games around, moving games here. You've gone into quarantine. But it says a lot about the leadership of this team that hasn't broken this team down. Instead, they seem like they've gotten better through it.
Maybe it's just teenagers just being laid back. I think they've taken the hits, and of course it's been our boys team and our girls team, so mm-hmm. I think they've kind of worked through it together and just said, you know, we'll just whatever we have to do, but we want to get back in the gym. I've seen some tears with some seniors, you know, with the worry about, you know, will we be able to do this, will we be able to finish, and of course this team gets along really, really well, so they've just been there to support each other and to reassure each other that they'll do the smart things and try to avoid the situations that where somebody might get a positive test again. But I think they're just trying to work really hard together and trying not to ruin it for those seniors.
Looking at individual players now, tell me, what kind of growth do you think you've seen from Aaliyah Melton from last year to now? Because especially against DeKalb, I feel like she's really starting to come into her own and become more of that consistent threat that I think we saw in spurts last year where she was really, really tough to stop on offense. But now she's putting it together a whole lot more consistently. What are some of the improvements you feel like she's made?
I think last year she felt like and played like a talented freshman. I think this year she knows that she has got to be the one that steps up, be the one that wants the ball, and be that leader on the offensive end of the floor for us. Of course, she's also our leading rebounder. Mm-hmm. But with being the athlete that she is and all the work that she's put in, I think she finally understands her role a little bit better, and that's forcing her into an understanding of what we need her to do.
You mentioned earlier, Coach, that obviously you're going to be playing a lot of games in a very short amount of time over these next couple of weeks before the district tournament. I think that I looked at the schedule before I called you, and I think you're playing five games in the next 6 days, I think. I did my math right there. How exactly do you prepare for that? How do you go about managing that to where – you know, hopefully no one gets hurt. Hopefully nobody has anything happen in a game. How do you manage that?
I don't think I have that answer. We've never been in this situation. We've joked about it quite a bit, you know, whether we're adults that used to play sports or joking with the team about no one really wants to practice in January and February anyway. So if you can just go play games, that would be great. And we've joked about how much fun that would have been when we were kids. If the coach said, we don't have to practice, no more conditioning, none of that stuff, let's just go play.
The Lady Cats will be back in action on Thursday as they get set to host District 8AA rival Macon County. But until then, that was Livingston Academy head coach Leslie Riddle. The Stone Memorial Lady Panthers earned a hard-fought district win on Tuesday over White County, a game where head coach Mike Buck says his team had to battle through adversity.
We handled some adversity during that game, and, you know, as a coach, you want to see your kids grow through, not just go through, but grow through some adversity, and I was really pleased with how we handled it for the most part. You know, when Tessa got in foul trouble there, she, you know, didn't play pretty much any of the third quarter, you know, because of foul trouble, and so we could have put her back in, obviously, but I wanted to see how we were going to handle, you know, playing without her, and so at first we got a little big-eyed, you know, and then we settled down and relaxed a little bit. I think I feel like our kids, you know, learned that, you know, still pretty good. You know, obviously she, I think if you had the best player in the state to your team, you become a better team. But even without her, we still are talented and we're still capable of, you know, some really good things. And so foul trouble happens, and we wanted to make sure that they knew that they could still, you know, get through those moments even without her. So that's probably what I'm most proud of. Defensively, I thought we really locked in the first half. You know, we held that team to 21 points and a half, so 6 points in the second quarter. So it just, you know, speaks to, you know, their focus and all. And then the second half, they got a little momentum and it became a little bit harder to guard. But, you know, there's a lot of good takeaways from last night for sure.
You mentioned Tessa's foul trouble. I was talking to somebody last night, and I told them that one thing that really stuck out to me, I thought Kenry Malone's minutes when Tessa went down, I thought she gave you some really, really good minutes in terms of making quick decisions when passing the ball, making good passes, being aggressive on defense without fouling.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, you know, and Kenry's a junior. She's a big kid. She's got some talent there, you know, and she's a good, you know, capable kid right now. She's kind of been struggling with, you know, playing hard and things like that consistently. And so she's got some minutes in the JV action just to, you know, to give her some chances to go out and play and be aggressive and just kind of get that feel. And she's been doing that in the last JV games. I was really pleased with that part of her game. And I told her, listen, I'm going to reward you tonight. There's, you know, going to be some minutes for you. And then it turned out to be more minutes than, you know, foul trouble, not more minutes, but it was kind of thrust into a different deal. I assumed she was going to be playing with Tessa on the floor, but it ended up playing without Tessa, and she did. She played well. I was pleased with her aggressiveness and her awareness. You know, was there. She made some free throws for us and made some good decisions. So I was really pleased with her, really was. And she's capable of that. And you know, I've told her that a bunch. You know, over the last, you know, couple years that, you know, you're playing, practicing every day against two of the best bigs in the state of Tennessee, and Tessa Miller and Emma Capps. And so your time's going to come. You know, take these lessons and now let's go apply them. And so, yeah, I was really pleased with how she came out and did some good stuff for us.
And you also mentioned the guard play. Obviously, Anna Goss leads with 20 points, and Maddie seems like she's really playing some of her best ball of the year right now. Keaton Freitag and Katie Atkinson have both been really, really solid.
Right.
There's a lot to like, I think, about this team in terms of that. I think a lot of teams would love to just be able to double Tessa Miller, but when you've got four guards out on the perimeter that can all knock down threes at a high rate, it makes that a whole lot more difficult.
It does. You kind of have to pick your poison. You know, some people are trying to, you know, put two and three on Tessa, making it hard for us to get it in there to her. You know, and the first time you see that, you know, you're like, well, it's kind of a weird feeling to be wide open out there. And then, you know, realizing that, you know, we are a balanced team and it's not just Tessa Miller inside that can score. We do have people around her. And it's complimentary because, you know, without Tessa, it would be harder for those guards to play, and without those guards, it'd be harder for Tessa to play, you know, and get, you know, the minutes and points, not minutes, but points that she's able to get. So it is, it's a hard deal. We feel like going in to most games, we'll be the best defensive team that people have seen. That's kind of one of our goals. And then offensively also, you know, we're as balanced, we feel like, as anybody. I went to a clinic a long time ago, and Jim Calhoun, who was at UConn, of course, he's from up north. He couldn't say his R's, so he said you have to have good God to have a good basketball team. And so we were down south at the coaching clinic whenever he said it, and he looked around after he said it, and he said, you got to have good gods. And then he corrected himself because he realized he was where we say the R's, and so he said good guards, right? So a lot of times it does come down to good, you know, to guard play.
That's Stone Memorial head coach Mike Buck. The postseason has really crept up on us here in the Upper Cumberland, as it feels like basketball season really just started yesterday. The Pitt County Bobcats are one such team that is gearing up for a deep postseason run, though if you ask Coach Joseph Aminette, he'll tell you that he's just thankful they were able to play their season.
You know, I was optimistic about us having an opportunity to get through our season. And I was probably more optimistic when the season started than I was when we got in about Christmas and after the Thanksgiving, when things were, you know, we had a political aspect of it as far as different opinions going on in our country. And then we had, you know, we had a health crisis at different points. I just thought our state did a good job of managing it. I thought the TSSAA did a really good job of communicating with schools and the governor's office. And I think, you know, credit to them. You know, the reason we're playing is because the governor and the TSSAA and the school systems laid something out that put us in a position to do it and made some really good decisions. And that's given these kids an opportunity to have a season. I mean, it's still been different. Gyms are a little quieter for sure. But, you know, they've done what it takes to get us to a point that we look like we're going to get through a somewhat of a regular season with the number of games we're going to be able to play.
Coach, you mentioned how different it's been. Obviously, the last time we spoke, it was right before you guys played Clay County, and you told me that that's a game that would normally have thousands of people at it, and obviously this year it's not the case. Is it possible to put into words just how different everything is when you don't have a full audience and it's only family members and, you know, immediate family members and media? Is it possible to put into words just how different it's been?
It is. It's so different, especially for our kids in our area of the Upper Cumberland, because they have, you know, all these schools in our Upper Cumberland area have such just tremendous fan support from the community. And those kids, you know, have grown up as little kids going to game and seeing all these crowds. And then they're sitting there and you walk out and it's, you know, you can hear your parents talking across the, you can hear a conversation in the bleachers because at different points in the game, it's so quiet. But, you know, I think teams are adapting to that a little bit. It's virtually, you know, a lot of times when you go out of town for a Christmas tournament, go out of state, those Christmas tournaments are just basically when you travel a long way, there's not a lot of people there. It's almost like every game's a little bit of an out-of-state Christmas tournament where you just have immediate people that were able to travel. So that has, that's been a little unique. It's a little hard to coach, in that to start with, but I think that the kids are adapted to it, and I think at the end of the day, they're just really excited about the opportunity to play.
Speaking of adapting, let's talk about your team, especially in these last five games. I feel like there's been very few teams that have been as good as they've been on both ends of the floor. They've been very stout defensively, and they've been almost impossible to stop offensively. How important has that defense been and being tough at that end of the floor in terms of translating that into easy buckets and transition on offense?
Oh, I think at the end of the day, you know, you got to have kids that can score, but at the end of the day, you've got to be able to guard people to win at a real high level. And, you know, just like last night, we go into halftime of the Gordonsville game, and I think it was, you know, 35-11. We only gave up 11 points in the first half. That is a far cry from in November when we were giving up 75 points to Livingston Academy in a game before Thanksgiving. We just got lots better defensively. We're committed to it. I think that's something that I've talked about since early on. We have we've decided now that we're going to play defense all the time, whether we're making shots or not. And we've won a couple of games this year late in the season just because we might not have been making the shots like we normally were, but we guarded and defended in a manner that put us in a position to win a game, and our kids made plays. They're priding themselves on it. You know, right now, when you can get a team to feel as good about getting a stop, taking a charge, as they do making a three-pointer, you've got a chance to be pretty good.
The Bobcats of Pickett County will be back in action on Friday as they prepare to travel to Red Boiling Springs, a team currently sitting at 0-19 on the season and 0-11 in district play. The Bobcats will then take on Clay County next Tuesday in a rematch of a previous meeting that was won by Clay County earlier in the season. Until then, that was Pickett County head coach Joseph Aminette. The Jackson County Blue Devils currently sit at third in District 6 Single A after a win over Monterey on Tuesday. And for head coach Kevin Thomas, He was just happy to get one of his best players back in Jordan Arroyo.
Well, I just, I'll be honest with you, it helped getting Jordan Arroyo back. He's been out with an ankle injury, and it was nice to see him back in the lineup, and it's still a little bit sore on him, but he done a good job, and I was really pleased with our effort defensively. I just thought that, we just did a tremendous job last night with our ball screen action with Jones up top and trying to close out on some shooters. But Jones is a tough matchup for anybody.
One thing I've noticed with this team, it's funny you mentioned Jordan Arroyo, because I've noticed this team, one of this team's greatest strengths, in my opinion, is the balance in scoring. Because whether it's Ramon Cuevas, Eli Burish, Jordan, or Chris Pigg, it feels like this team is just tough to guard because it has so many guys that on any given night can really step up and have a big game.
You're right. We with those four, as last night we had all four of them in double digits and still left a few points there on the board. We hadn't been having that here lately with Jordan and been having that ankle issue, but we really feel like, offensively that we are kind of hard to guard. We got to do a better job at the free throw line and finishing layups. We've missed a few there layups that could make a big difference in the game, and hopefully we can get back, because I really and truly believe in our league you have to get to 60, to win games. I think we've got some good offensive teams in our league, and they're well coached, and I tell the kids all the time it's going to be hard to win games if you don't get into 60 in our league.
I feel like with those four specifically, it really helps that they also each provide kind of a different asset, a different, specialty on offense. What do you think is each player's best quality for you?
Well, there's no doubt that Eli, is our best three-point shooter. Majority of his is going to be from there. And then Chris is going to be right there, at 15 feet and in. Chris can really shoot that 15-footer. And being a big, strong kid there, it's a 15-footer to lay up. Jordan and Ramon can score in different ways. They can both get off the bounce and get to the rim. They can pull up, jump, and shoot it. Jordan's shooting 40-something% in the three-point line. Those two are dynamic and kind of fits with those other two, it makes it tougher to guard all of them for sure.
Let me ask you this, Coach. Do you feel like those players get enough credit for being some of the best players in the district? Because I know we talk a lot about Clay and Pickett and the talent that other teams have in this district. Do you think like those guys get enough credit?
From our end, I try to get them to believe that they're the top talent in the district. I mean, right now some of my kids are kind of, just to be honest with you, not for sure where they fit in. I don't believe they feel as good as I think they are. A little bit of that comes with respect. I've tried to show them on film how people's trying to guard them. This is where they respect you from. There's no doubt that those kids have done a good job this year. And I think Jordan and Ramon will just continue to get better.
Coach, before the season started, we talked a lot about how much of a wild card this district really could be after the top two. And here we are late in the season, and your guys sitting third right now. How pleased are you with the overall body of work for this team?
Well, I'm pleased with the overall body of work. I mean, we do have a game out there that I was really disappointed in, getting the loss to Gordonsville and how bad and how we struggled. And that was a tough loss for us and could come back to bite us. I really and truly believe that this team and some other teams in the district are capable of beating anybody. We got a big matchup. We'll play County Friday night, and we'll see where we are. We played them pretty good over at their place, and I just think it'll be a great district tournament.
You moved into my next question almost flawlessly there, Coach. You guys have a big, big opportunity on Friday in a home tilt with Clay County. And like you mentioned, you guys played them tough. I'm pretty sure you guys were up by one heading into the fourth, or it was a one-point game one way or the other heading into the fourth. What's got to be different this time around for your guys to come out of there with the big district win?
Well, we have to, I don't know if it'll get back in that same situation, but be honest with you, there again, we went 4-14 in the free throw line in the fourth quarter.
Again, that was Jackson County head coach Kevin Thomas. The Lady Buffaloes of Clark Range defeated Clay County on Tuesday, their first game back from quarantine, And while he didn't have as much time to prepare as normal, head coach Lamar Rogers says he was pleased with the overall effort he saw from his team.
Well, you know, the biggest thing is we've been quarantined and hadn't played any since last Tuesday, and really didn't even see him until yesterday. We went over stuff about 30 minutes, shot about 30 minutes, you know, about 15 to 4 to 4:30, and, you know, hung around and played extremely well. I thought our basketball IQ was really high. And, you know, defensively, I think we adjusted really well as the game progressed. Had them, you know, they held them to 23 points going into the fourth quarter. So that's just outstanding defense. And then, you know, offensively, we had, three in double figures and another player had 9 points. So had balanced scoring, which is really good.
You mentioned the scoring. It seems like some of your better players are really starting to play some good basketball at the right time. Obviously, we're getting closer to postseason play. Chloe Howard has 19, and Lexi Pierce scores 9. How important are those two when it comes to scoring the ball and taking some of that pressure off of Cassie and Kaylee moving forward?
Well, it's really major. And, you know, Chloe Howard possibly had her best game she had all year. She, you know, had a block, ESPN play, really. She blocked a shot and then went coast to coast for a layup. Just outstanding play. Showed her athleticism. And you know, she's, besides getting in foul trouble at peak kind of last game last Tuesday night and having to sit out some, she's been in, you know, double figures, I think, the last 4 or 5 games, which that really helps us when we get inside scoring. And, of course, she's, you know, had to, you know, 3 threes last night, which she can do that. But that's good. Everybody's watching Lexi Pierce. They don't want her to shoot. And, you know, Maddie Bush down at Pickett last Tuesday had 16 points in the first half. So we'd like to get it to where they just kind of have to pick their poison here we're playing and, you know, different people stepping up offensively at different times.
Coach, talk about Chloe a little bit more, because one thing from last year to now that seems like it seems really apparent is she has these moments where when she's really aggressive, there's not many people at the single A level that are able to guard her and contain her. That's got to be something that I know a lot of hard work has gone into. I know she's probably spent a lot of time in the weight room to get stronger. Talk about that progression from last year to now for her.
Well, you know, a lot of it's maturity. You know, she's had this ability, You know, last year also to take the game over. And I think, maybe her sophomore year, she's MVP of the district tournament. You know, just had an outstanding district tournament that year. And, when she scores in double figures, we're going to be extremely hard to defeat. I feel like, you know, we're going to be very successful. You know, Cass and Kaylee is going to draw, every coach is going to game plan against them, try to slow them down. And then, you know, any scoring, you know, Mackenzie Pyle, Chloe Harrod, when they score inside, it just opens up the outside and just makes it difficult to defend.
And then when you look over at Lexi, I feel like one thing that, whether your shot's going in or not, I feel like one thing any player can do on the court is always defend at a high level. And I've noticed that about Lexi, that even on nights when maybe she doesn't have her shot, she's always defending one of the other team's better players, and she typically does a very, very good job of it.
Well, she's our best interior defensive player. You know, Chloe Harrod does good, and Mackenzie Pyle does good also. But Lexi's just a little bit more physical, understands a little bit better what we're trying to do as far as either front in the post. She's a very strong rebounder also, but just a very smart defensive player and, you know, critical for our defensive game plan. You know, she's – you know, guarding the best inside player, whoever we play. And she's, you know, done a very solid job of it all year long.
The Lady Buffaloes will attempt to keep that undefeated streak alive in district play as they look for their 10-0 record when they take on Monterey on the road on Friday. Until then, that was Clark Range head coach Lamar Rogers. The Cumberland County Lady Jets last played on Friday when they defeated Sequatchie County. And in the current week of practice, head coach Tyler McWilliams says he has had time to evaluate how he's grown as a head coach in his first season.
You know, I think I've been able to make adjustments to kind of what fits my team best, and being able to put my kids in spots to be successful. I think that's what's helped me the most. And having this group of girls to begin with, and along with Coach Martin and Coach Cram, you know, it's been perfect situation. I've got a good group of girls who are working hard and buying into what we're doing, and it's exciting to see us grow together.
Your team last played on Friday in a win over Sequatchie County, and they've been off since then. Is a week like this, where you kind of got 7 days between games, is it kind of good this part in the season where you kind of get to rest and maybe catch up on some recovery a little bit?
Yeah, and our situation's unique this year, obviously, and just like everybody else. And we didn't get that summer camp time. We didn't get that preseason game time. So having this week to not only just recover from the journey we've been on so far, but having this week to really work on some little stuff that we haven't had a chance to, and it's almost February. So it's kind of like an extra bonus of time that we have been using so far. And we've had a great week of practice so far, and I'm just ready for Friday to get here to get playing again.
I really like what I've seen from this team defensively recently, such as that win over Sequatchie or against Stone a few games ago where you held them to 40 points, a really good offensive team there. It's got to be encouraging. As young as this team is, when you play some really young players like you do, they seem to really be buying in at that end of the floor, which may sometimes go unnoticed.
Yeah, we're really all year long. We focused on our defense, and we've found a couple of defenses that we really like, and we've been working on some others in practice, and we're ready to use that when we need it. And there's part of being a good defensive team is being able to play different styles of defense, and we're learning how to do that. And I've got some seniors that have done a good job of being leaders on the defensive end, and they do a great job of being a staple for us on the defensive end. And Narissa Scarborough and Madison Bufkin and Shelby Smith, they just really kind of anchor us on that end, and it's been a big blessing for sure.
How much more important does that make communication at that end when you're trying to learn different coverages and different kind of schemes? How important is that communication on the floor between players and also between you and the players that, you know, if you're going to switch on the fly from a zone to man-to-man or vice versa or from one zone to another, how important is that communication?
It's really important, and we've talked about that all season long. Communication has got to be the key for us, and we've improved on that so much since the beginning, and we're just trying to keep it rolling.
What's the key to finishing this season strong and maintaining that spot in the district? I know you guys have got a big game Friday night at Marion County, a team you beat earlier in the season. How crucial of a win would this be for this group to solidify their spot at the top of the district?
We know what's at stake. You know, this year more than any other year, winning your conference is huge because you get to host that district, those district game tournament games, and that's where we want to be. And you know, we're just trying to protect you know, our program and protect what the little tradition that we've built here of dominating this district, and we want to keep that alive. And our kids, you know, stayed focused all game or all season long, and we stay focused during the games, and we're just focused on one game at a time, and I think we're headed in the right direction, headed into tournament time.
Again, the Lady Jets will be back in action on Friday as they take on district foe Marion County. But until then, that was Cumberland County Lady Jets head coach Tyler McWilliams. The Monterey Wildcats took a tough loss to Jackson County on Tuesday, a game in which head coach Adam West says his team was snake-bitten by their own mistakes. The goal for this team for the remainder of the season, according to West, is to find that consistency for them to be the team he believes they can be.
Well, we snake-bit a little bit. We've had some of the same issues every game. We didn't stop playing, and we haven't stopped playing in most games. We've just been unfortunate in a lot of our losses that have been so close. We've had a couple buzzer beaters, about a 35-footer and about a 30-footer that beat us in a couple of games this year. And, of course, the other night, and then we had a game on the road where we lost in double overtime. We've been pretty consistent on those. We just we can't put it together on the same night, and consistency is kind of killing us, to be honest. But we're battling, and we're playing hard, and we're getting better, and we're trying to right the ship where we can finish those games when it matters.
Caden plays another really good game for you, and I feel like he's playing some of the best ball of the year right now. What's really been clicking for him offensively?
Well, he's just, you know, he's making shots. I know that sounds obvious, but night in and night out, he's making some tough plays, and he has the ability to get a shot off really easy, and then that's kind of dictated him being able to score the ball. And of course, when you're his percentage at the 3-point line has gone up from the beginning of the year to now. Probably the only thing we would like to see go back up again, which we've lost a little bit of recently, is getting to the free throw line. I think he could actually push his numbers up a little higher if he would just, you know, score some from getting to the line.
One guy I don't think we've talked about all year, but I've really been impressed with how he's played on the wing, especially, is Brandon Dillon. I feel like he's played some really, really good minutes for you. He's played tough defense. He's had big scoring games here and there. What's his best quality as a starting guard for this team?
Well, he really is good going left and getting downhill. He plays hard. He's like everyone else on our team. His consistency hasn't been as good as we'd long it, but, you know, it's same as everything else. It's his first opportunity to be a part of a program at the level that, you know, it's required to be in our conference. And so there's been a lot of learning curve for these kids that haven't had the experience.
The record of this team is very deceiving because you've been involved in several close games. You've been right there in most of your games. What's the aspect of this team? Is it that consistency that you're looking for? And how do you fix that? Is it just repetition? Is it better communication? What is it you need to do to fix that?
Well, it's an oddity, really, because it's not the same thing every night. That's what makes it difficult. But, you know, confidence, consistency, doing the same thing over and over when you're working in practice and really developing that. You know, a game is nothing more than studying for a test, and that's the test that we take. And in our case, you know, we've got to continually to prepare and have consistent practices, and that's been something we've had difficulty with throughout the year, and it's kind of overplayed into our games there. But it's just really hard to put your finger on one thing any given night, and I wish I could because we could fix it before it happens. But, you know, some nights we've had some free throw issues, some nights we've had some rebound issues, and some nights we've had some consistency on just making shots. And so we just a little bit of everything. And if I knew, that's what I told the guys, I said, if I knew every night that, you know, that everybody was going to play a certain way, and, you know, we kind of, you know, we're like every other coach, or at least I think I am, and we just, you know, try to look at what the statistics tell us, you know, and the consistency that they bring as a player, and that's kind of how we try to fend our lineup, and that's really been difficult this year. And part of it is, to be fair to the guys, not having a summer, not having a preseason, that's really hurt a team with lack of experience as we have.
That was Monterey Wildcats head coach Adam West. Despite losing a game to Livingston Academy on Tuesday, DeKalb County head coach John Sanders believes there are still many positives going on within his team heading down the home stretch of the season.
It was a very competitive game. You know, our guys played hard defensively, did another good job defensively, and then offensively, we only had 9 turnovers the whole game. We just can't make shots and sort of panic sometimes on offense, and then, you know, we don't screen, or, you know, everybody just sort of kind of goes rogue and does a little bit of their own thing in situations where we just got to keep our cool a little better. So,
I know taking better care of the ball was key early on in the season. Do you feel like that's an aspect of the game where your team has really improved?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, against York the other night, I think we only had like 12 turnovers. So, you know, definitely, you know, we've gotten our turnover number down, which is good. We just got to start making shots and converting. Because defensively, I mean, we're playing well enough to give ourselves a chance to win. We just got to make shots is what it boils down to. you know, shooting 22% from the 3-point line and, you know, 55% from the free throw line is not going to win you very many ball games.
You know, Coach, I looked at the looking at the box score last night. It feels like you guys did about as good a job on Matthew Sells as you could have. First off, how tough is he to prepare for as someone that you have to see twice a year in district play in the regular season alone? And second, what was kind of the plan going in to kind of slow him down or make him earn his points?
Yeah, you know, he's probably one of the best, one of the better scorers in the district, if not the best, one of the best in Upper Cumberland. I mean, he's got a really good pull-up jump shot. He can, you know, shoot the three real well, and I mean, he does a good job of getting to the free throw line. He's got a quick first step, you know, one or two dribbles, and he's at the rim. He can score at the free throw line. So, you know, we try not to let him touch it, and if he does, we want him, you know, have to work for everything he gets and just try to wear him down, and usually just try to be in gas and double if we're close by. You know, we don't want to leave a guy on an island too much with him. Because he is so good offensively, but yeah, he's a very tough. I mean, he's a pretty tall kid. He gets the ball up high, releases it high. So you know, he's a good basketball player.
Team currently sits at sixth in the district, but I feel like you've got a real opportunity these next couple of games to knock off some teams that are right above you and make up some ground. How much have you emphasized that to your guys that there's still a lot of work? There's still a lot left to be accomplished in the home stretch of this season.
Oh, yeah, you know, and that's sort of, you know, we talked to him about it going into the game last night. You know, we were sitting fourth, which, you know, Livingston really hasn't played a whole lot of games. But, you know, we told him, it's like, guys, look, there's still a good chance, you know, you could end up as high as third or you could end up, you know, as low as probably seventh. You know, I mean, that's just sort of the parity of our district right now. And, you know, every game matters. Every game's going to be close. You know, I think looking at our schedule, we've got the potential to win every game we play left on our schedule. And, I mean, we've got the potential to lose every one of them, too. I mean, it's just the district is that tight, you know, from probably the third spot down. And even, like, you know, York, you know, we've been fairly competitive with York.
That was DeKalb County Tigers head coach, John Sanders.